Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am joined by Rabbi Akiva Niehaus, Director of Kashrus Operations at the CRC, the Chicago Rabbinical Council, and Rabbinic Coordinator of Liquor at the CRC. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you.
In one of our previous conversations, we kind of ran out of time. You mentioned something that was absolutely fascinating, and I'm wondering if today you could shed a little light on it, and that is when we talk about the kashrus of liquor, the kashrus of whiskeys, the issue of avodah zarah. What type of items would have such a concern? What is the avodah zarah concern, and how does a consumer determine whether there is such an issue?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a fascinating topic. In our segment about sake, I mentioned that I had the great opportunity to visit Japan and learn about sake firsthand. And Japan is a very religious culture. And in fact, we were shocked to see that in every company we visited, they have an avodah zarah shelf right in the front. They come in the morning, they worship, say hello to it. Not only that, they have ceremonies for the sake. The beginning, their priests come and actually interact with it. At the end, they thank them. And the question is, wow, how does this affect our sake? You know, you're going to drink it?
Was it part of that process? That's really the question.
That's exactly the question. Wow. And this is something in the Western culture, which you don't even think about. And just seeing it firsthand just brought it to light. Wow. So we looked into more, and we spoke to people that are very familiar with it. And they basically said that it looks worse than it is, meaning that in the morning when they come and greet their avodah zarah, it's really just asking for hatzlacha, obviously.
And you witnessed this when you went?
Absolutely.
You saw it?
There's a shelf. It's a shelf. I don't know what it is, but on the street corners in Japan, it's just out of nowhere.
These statues?
Correct. And it's some sort of like objects. I don't know exactly what it is. They may not even, I honestly don't really know how they interact with it, but basically, they're just you know, lahavdol. It's davening for hatzlacha, and when they actually put in the beginning and the end of the season, when they actually interact with it, they do somewhat worship the sake that's made and the rice, but that never makes it back into the sake that's sold. So they'll take on the side one jug or something, mm-hmm. and they'll maybe have some sort of avodah zarah interaction with that, and even offer it to their avodah zarah, but it never makes it back into the stream. So therefore, on a consumer level, it doesn't really affect the product itself.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So no concern at all. Okay.
But I'll tell you something else which is a concern. We get questions periodically about a certain type of beer called a Trappist beer. Trappist beer is a beer which is made in a monastery by a certain Catholic sect, the Trappists. It's made by monks. And there are very specific, strict laws about what qualifies as a Trappist beer or not. And in fact, they have a logo that they put if they meet these requirements that it qualifies as a Trappist beer. And the question is there a kashrus concern or anything worse? So we talked in the beer segment, which we talked about, basically there's a very simple type of beer. There's no additives by and large. There are a few with simple ingredients. On the kashrus level, we're not that concerned. But we are concerned about the avodah zarah issues because, and I did a lot of research into it, it turns out that one of the regulations is that it must be produced in the monastery. Mm-hmm. That's the law. That's their rule. And
is this around the world or only in the United States?
Well, believe it or not, it's more European. Uh-huh. Most of them are in Belgium. There are a few around the world. There was actually one in Massachusetts which shut down. But they could be anywhere, but they have to be registered with this Trappist organization. So one regulation was that it has to be produced on site. But another one is that the money needs to go towards the upkeep
of the monastery.
Anything extra goes to social services. Like, that's their belief. They don't make profits. Mm-hmm. So then the question becomes, well, if I buy something from this Trappist brewery, the monastery, my money's going directly to support the upkeep of the monastery. How does that impact the avodah zarah? Mm-hmm. And there are a bunch of sugyos in avodah zarah which are directly relevant to this. Basically, the point is that you're contributing towards the upkeep, is that any different than giving a donation, Rahman al-Islam, to a monastery? And it's a big parsha. And it's not pashut. There are a few ways to get around it. Number one is that the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, says that it's only a problem if it's in the base of Eretz Yisrael itself, but in the Chatzar or further, it may not be wrong. So I actually would like to go to Belgium to see it firsthand, but until then, I actually got some aerial shots on Google Maps of the location of the brewery versus the base of Eretz Yisrael. And it does seem that it's a bit...
It's a separate area.
A separate building.
Why, by the way, why would someone buy a Trappist beer? Does it have a different taste?
It's a different taste, and apparently it's some of the best beers in the world.
It's supposed to be a good beer. I was a man, because otherwise the conversation would be moot.
100%.
Right, but you're saying there is something special about it that people
correct.
Would want.
And the beer guys keep asking the question. They were like, I've never tried it because of these questions, but it's certainly fascinating. So that was one potential approach, is that maybe it's not in the base of Eretz Yisrael. But another consideration is the fact we mentioned in a different segment that there is a three-tier system for distribution of liquor in America: the manufacturer, distributor, and retailer. So think about it. You have this brewery in Belgium, which is in the monastery, which is making this Trappist beer. Maybe it's only a problem if you buy directly from the monastery. But if you buy it in a retail store, go to a liquor store in America, you know how many steps away you are?
Right.
It went from the manufacturer to the distributor to
So your money's going to your retail.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that would potentially be another way. Now, I don't know if it's appropriate to buy this beer then, because
that's
ultimately...
It's more of a hashkafa
question. That might be a hashkafa question. You speak to your Rav. But at least on a bizarre level, would seem to be perhaps only a problem if one buys directly from
Very
the monastery itself.
Wow, okay.
But there we go. Who
I was going to say, you know, we've done so many of these segments, Kenai Nara, Ken Yerbu, but who would have even thought of these things? So
correct.
It's a fascinating topic, and I appreciate you being here to talk about it. Thank you.
Thank you.